Evening to the book of Numbers, the first chapter. And this evening we're going to begin to work our way through this book, the fourth book of the Pentateuch. One of the instructions that I have as a pastor is to give attendance to reading, which does not mean that I am to be careful to make sure that I read, but that I read the Bible to you. Of course, when God wrote those words, people did not have their own individual copies of the Bible, but one of the things we do when we come to church is read the Scripture, and one of the things that will happen, if nothing else happens when we get done with this, we will read together through the book of Numbers in its entirety. This evening, I'm going to begin by reading the first 46 verses of the first chapter. So Numbers chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head on the house of his fathers. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you. Of the tribe of Reuben, Elizur the son of Shedeur. Of Simeon, Shelumiel the son of Zurishaddai. Of Judah, Nashon the son of Amminadab. Of Issachar, Nethaneel the son of Zuar. Of Zebulun, Eliab the son of Helon. Of the children of Joseph, of Ephraim, Elishama the son of Ahimad. Of Manasseh, Gamaliel the son of Pedazur. Of Benjamin, Abidan the son of Gideoni. Of Dan, Ahiezer the son of Amishaddai. Of Asher, Pegiel the son of Ocran. Of Gad, Eliasaph the son of Duel. Of Naphtali, Ahira the son of Enan. These were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes, of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their polls. As the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. Of the children of Simeon, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, those that were numbered of them, according to the number of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. Of the children of Gad, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Gad, were 45,650. Of the children of Judah, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Judah, were 74,600. Of the children of Issachar, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Issachar, were 54,400. of the children of Zebulun by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Zebulun, were 57,400. Of the children of Joseph, namely of the children of Ephraim, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Ephraim, were 40,500. Of the children of Manasseh, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,200. Of the children of Benjamin, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, these that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Benjamin, were 35,400. Of the children of Dan, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Dan, were 62,700. Of the children of Asher, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Asher, were 41,500. Of the children of Naphtali, throughout their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Naphtali, were 53,400. These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel, being 12 men, each one was for the house of his fathers. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel, even all they that were numbered were 603,550. And let's stop there and we'll pray. Father, I pray your help and blessing. These are your words. This is the word of the Lord to us, and I pray your help now that we would respect your word and learn from it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one commentator called the book of Numbers the junk drawer of the Bible, or it being like the junk drawer of the Bible. It contains a little bit of everything, a little bit of law, a little bit of narrative. Not really that. He wasn't being disrespectful. He was referencing the way it has been viewed in history. The book is not really disorganized, and the book is really not without a purpose. But the book of Numbers, particularly the first 10 chapters, is one of those challenging portions of the Bible. All of the Bible is food. All of the Bible is food. The word of the Lord is our food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. But not all food has good flavor. Some food is fiber. Some food is vegetables. Some food is green beans. And other food is mashed potatoes and gravy. But it's all food. If we're not going to be under any illusions, this is not a mashed potatoes and gravy and bacon and cheeseburger kind of meal. But it is food. We need all of the Bible, even the passages that seem to have a lot of fiber. So let's begin just by getting a little bit of familiarity with the book of Numbers in its place and the way it is arranged. To us, it is called the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers comes from the Latin translation of the Bible. The Bible was translated from the Greek and Hebrew that existed into Latin, the language of Europe, by Jerome, the Vulgate, and he called it arithmoi, the plural of mathematics. And it's named that because there are a number of censuses. There are two major ones. But the Jewish name for the book is actually a better title for the book. And the Jewish title for the book actually comes right out of the first verse. The Lord spake unto Moses, and here's the Hebrew title, in the wilderness. The Hebrew title for the book is In the Wilderness. It's not just a math book. It's not just a book of counting. It is a book that describes the life of the Israelites in the wilderness. Genesis describes the formation of the covenant people. Where did they come from? How did they come to be a people? How did they come to identify with God? This is what we learned. God made man. Out of all those men, God picked Abraham. Exodus describes the deliverance and the covenant relationship of the people of God. What is God going to do with this people that he has called to himself? How will he protect them? What will their relationship consist of? Leviticus describes the lifestyle of the covenant people. What must be their major characteristic? God wants to live with them. They must be a holy people. They don't go anywhere in Leviticus. They don't take any journeys in Leviticus. They're just learning how to live. It's like orientation to Christianity. It's like the very first discipleship class. Numbers describes the reality of what it's like for the people of God. The Jews don't come off very well in the book of Numbers. We discover in the book of Numbers that not only does God put them to the test, but they put him to the test. What will it look like now that the idealism is past and we have to live in the nitty-gritty world of a covenant people in a hostile place? That is the book of Numbers. The events that unfold in the book of Numbers, the book begins almost immediately on the end of the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 40, in verse number 17, we have this reference, right? This is the tabernacle is set up. Exodus chapter 40, verse number 17, the tabernacle is set up, and it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month. So just for our sake, this would not be the way the Hebrew calendar goes, but for our sake, first month, January, second year, first day of the month. January 1, 2018. That's when the tabernacle is set up. In between there is the book of Leviticus. And now we come to the book of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation in the first day of the second month in the second year. Exodus closes January 1. Numbers opens February 1 of the same year. 30 days have passed. There are two ways to organize the book in a outline format. One is by breaking it down into the two major censuses, which would make the division chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 25, verse 18, and then it's chapter 26 through the end of the book. And you have two censuses, major censuses, because one is counting the people prior to the judgment in the wilderness, and the other one is counting the people at the end of the judgment in the wilderness. They are almost identically, by the way, the same number of people. 38 years in the wilderness, one generation dying off, another generation taking its place, and God has preserved his people. But another way to divide the book, and the format that we will follow, is to divide the book into thirds, not by using the censuses as markers, but by using the geography as markers. We will follow this format, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 10, verse 10, in camp. Nobody moves. Nobody moves in the first 10 chapters. We're just there. Chapter 10, verse 11 through chapter 21, verse 35, in transit. 38 years of walking around in circles in transit. Chapter 22, verse 1 through the end of the book, 36, 13, in Moab. And to be in Moab with reference to the land of promise would be the equivalent to being on the south side of Council Bluffs with reference to Omaha. That's the geographical pointing. You're on the east side of the river, slightly to the south and east of where the promised land is. That's where Moab fits relative to Jerusalem. I think that we'll find that general outline a little more helpful to following the flow of what's going on in the lives of these people. So, with that, we will begin to work through what is beyond any shadow of a doubt, folks, the most arduous part of our journey. And those are the first 10 chapters while the Jews are in camp. The first 46 verses are simply this. God is taking a head count of soldiers. He's tallying up the army. It's a head count. Chapter 1, verse number 2, take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every male by their polls. The word poll means head. We're taking a head count. All right, let's get a count. It is a count of only males, only over the age of 20, who are capable of going to war. So God gives the command, and then God says, Moses and Aaron, you're going to do this, but I want you to have the captain, the most prominent man from every one of the 12 tribes to help you. And again, we'll talk a little bit about this because when you go to the book of Exodus, you have the birth order of the 12 sons. And then, of course, because God is going to isolate, in effect, the Levites, you're going to have 11 sons who are recipients of inheritance. And so God deals with that by dividing the tribe of Joseph into two, Ephraim and Manasseh. So you end up with like 13 individual families, 12 of whom receive land, and the 13th of which is the tribe consecrated to the Lord. That will emerge. So God's going to go through, and he's going to take these prominent men, and these 14 men, 12 tribe members, Moses and Aaron, are going to take a head count. They're going to pull the warriors, and they're going to tally them up. And when they get to the end, we have an army that is 603,550. Now, I'm only going to mention this for the sake of those of you who like to do some technical reading and get into this. The number side of this is debated. Unbelievers debate it because they find the numbers too large for what they would argue is appropriate counting of that time in history. Believers sometimes have issues with the numbers because of the way they relate to other numbers concerning the nation of Israel. I'm just saying that if that kind of thing really rocks your world, Google to the rescue, and I can give you some books to talk about it. It does not rock my world. And we're just going to go with the numbers that are there, and we're not going to talk much about them other than to take the periodic tally. The tally is 603,550 young men who are soldiers. 20 years and upward, these are the guys who are competent to go. This is a count of the warriors. And again, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. When we get to chapter 2, 1 and verse number 47, we begin to take another count. But it is not a count of soldiers, it is a count of worshipers, the professional religious branch of the nation of Israel. We will talk about that. Now, we could close our Bibles and go home. Right? Because we've read 46 verses, and we've read through the count, and we've read the names, and we've got the number. But if we think of this as only a count of the number, we will think of it only as fiber, and not very good fiber at that. So let me propose to you, not only do you have a count of soldiers, but you have a revelation of God. The census reveals much about the way the Lord thinks and about the way the Lord acts. First of all, and perhaps the most important item to note, is that the census reveals the faithfulness of God to His word. You don't need to turn to, but let me just read a couple of verses to you. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Genesis 15:4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Can God keep his promise? Well, let's take account. That's really one of the major points of significance, folks. God is faithful to His word. At this point in time, God has blessed His word at least 603,550 times more than when He gave it. God is able to keep His promise. He is faithful. Secondly, this passage reveals to us that we are a directed people. Now, we're going to encounter this, and the book of Numbers is a great place, and we spent 5 Sunday nights dealing with this from the book of, from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But one of the great myths of New Testament Christianity is that in the age of grace, the church functions like a gigantic romper room, where everybody gets to do anything they want to do as long as they don't cross some very loose lines that make up a very large box. You can't steal. You can't commit adultery. You can't lie. And then everybody can do what they want. That's not really the way it is, but that tends to be the way we believe that it is. And we come to a passage like this, we are reminded that God directs His people to the most minute circumstances. And He does that, folks, with great visual symbolism to make a point. Right? I mean, God is directing this gigantic ballet, and we haven't got to yet, but I mean, it's going to go to this place. Okay, you stand there. You stand there. You stand there. You go over there. You stand there. Don't come here. You come here, you're going to die. Those are the kind of instructions that God gives. We are a directed people. Not only is God faithful to His word, not only is God meticulous in His instruction, God is a God of order. Now, we can carry this too far, but some people don't carry it far enough. This is, folks, okay, and I'm not going after anybody who, you know, this is not an attack on people who count themselves as disorganized. We're all disorganized to some extent. But let us understand the methodology of God and the nature of man. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. The native state of creation is chaotic. God speaks, brings order. This is the way God works. Out of the darkness came the light. Why is it that the evening and the morning were the first day? Can God not tell time? No, because this is the order. There is darkness, then God brings light. There is chaos, then God brings order. There is lostness, then God brings salvation. 2 Corinthians 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. This is the way God works. If you're going to go to war, there needs to be some order. By the way, if you're going to worship, there needs to be some order. Periodically, we encounter people who believe the best worship is disorderly worship, where we just kind of meet and wait for something to happen. And there are times to wait on the Lord. As if it is ungodly for anything to be done with any kind of regimentation or schedule. But I think we'll see repeatedly in the book of Numbers, God does not share that sentiment. And in fact, folks, in a very real way, it is not possible for God to be spontaneous. He only looks spontaneous to us. He's not spontaneous by nature. Whatever he's doing at this exact moment, we are certain he is not sitting around wondering what he should do next. He has declared the end from the beginning. Our God is a God of order. And Numbers explains to us that both war and worship require some element of order. And finally, this passage helps us to see that God is devoted to his people. Wouldn't it be nice if God had just told us there were 603,550 Jews? It would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if people just told us that the grandkids were doing well? But they don't do that, do they? Out come the pictures. Out come the detailed biographies. This one is living here, and this is what they're doing, and they have this many children, and this is what's going on in their lives. Right? My wife and I, Kit, we have several family members who give us, you know, the family newsletter. That's great. Always appreciate to get them. Didn't get one this year that said, hey, everybody's great. Merry Christmas. We got one that said, this kid is here, and this kid is here, and this is going on, and this is going on. God is devoted to this. This is what the Lord is doing, folks. Right? Insignificant Dan gets exactly the same amount of press and exactly the same amount of words and exactly the same amount of attention as prominent Judah. Asher, Naphtali, Gad, the tribes we can't remember, they get exactly the same description, exactly the same wording as the tribes we do remember. Reuben, Simeon. God is devoted to his people. God is not in a hurry. He's going to work through each one of his children. Here they are. Here's what's going on. Here's the tribe. You need to know about this tribe. You need to know about that tribe. You need to know about that tribe. So, again, is Numbers 1 probably ever going to fall into our favorite passage of the Bible? No, but there's a lot to learn about the Lord in it.